Hello and welcome to another episode of Spinning Yarns. We're back, Liam.
We're back.
Fuck, you take a week off and it feels like forever, man. Just hearing that smooth music in the intro just got me pumped for another episode.
I like the enthusiasm you're bringing to this week's episode.
I know, you're usually pretty critical about my intros and my
it's really rattling my cage.
It gives you a bit of a horn, doesn't it, Liam?
It fills me full of nervous excitement, one might say.
We just got to hit all of those phrases at the start just to get people excited. It feels like a long time because we took a week off. We don't really have a reason for it other than, I guess you just had a new baby boy, so that's a good excuse. We had a 3-day weekend here in America, so...
We're men of leisure.
Yeah, exactly. So we're back. Sometimes we're going to take a week off. Sometimes we're going to take a month off. We're going to do what we want at any point in time. I don't even think I've spoken to you anyway, other than texting each other or tagging each other on Facebook memes, but that's not really substantive conversation.
True. Well, probably the only one might have been the video that I tagged you of that kid who puts the... glow stick in the microwave.
If no one has seen this video, it's great. It's a... go YouTube, like, puts a glow stick in the microwave.
Kid puts glow stick in the microwave.
He's wearing a beautiful collared shirt. And you can hear his dad. And all the lights go out. And he puts the glow stick in the microwave. And, of course, the second he pulls it out... fucking explodes.
He shakes it. His mate's filming or his brother or something. Yeah. And he shakes it a little bit and it fucking is just enough to put it over the edge.
And he gets it in his fucking eyes and his dad is the funniest.
That would be hot. Part of that. Hot, oh my God. Fucking glow stick goo.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked, but lots of stuff to talk about, Liam. So we might as well get stuck into it on today's episode.
Yeah.
And we've been up and down sometimes. We've been steering away from hot topics just because it's funnier to talk about whatever we want. Other times, we've gotten in the weeds of some pretty heavy stuff. This is an interesting one, and I want to get your take on it because it's a tough one. It's a tough topic.
Okay, let me hear
in
it.
In Australia right now, and it's the big controversy about Hannah Mountsey. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Hannah Mountsey. Has just been cleared, or was cleared, I think, back in February to play in the AFL Women's League. And the reason that is newsworthy, if you're an American listener or if you're not familiar, Hannah Mountsey is a trans female, used to be a man, now is a woman, identifies as a woman. And I think the big controversy around it is... If the photos come out, it's been shared all over Facebook, and it's Hannah Mountsey standing side by side with AFL legend Jonathan Brown, who's a fucking big unit.
He's considered, probably not six. He's probably like 6'4" or something like that. 6'5"
maybe. He's built like a brick shit house.
He's considered big. He's considered in men's AFL. He's considered a fucking big bloke.
And you got Hannah Mountsey standing next to him, and she's standing tall. She's looking like she could lay him out.
Mind you, he had heels on. She had heels on.
She had heels on.
Yeah. So she's 6'3" though.
6'3". Okay. So
100 kilos of pure equality.
So we're not here to poke fun at Hannah Mountsey, but I am here to ask you, what do you think of that decision that I actually think,
because I'm sort of thinking this and, you know, the whole outrage and everyone's like, what the hell? I'm actually starting to think now that the AFL, the Women's League AFL, have done this as like a big publicity stunt. Not a publicity stunt, but have made it so big, do you know what I mean? Because they would have known, they would have drawn more attention to people to start watching the game again, I reckon. I'm going to watch it now.
I guess.
I'm going to watch the first. I'm going to definitely watch, because there are some women who are going to get fucking steamrolled, man.
Well, so people, it's got people fired up on my
Hannah
Facebook
is 100
feed.
Kilos, 6 foot fucking three.
Yeah, so that's like...
Let that sink in a little bit.
That's like 200 pounds. I don't know what that is, but that's... That's a big unit.
That's a whole lot of woman. That's a whole lot of Rosie. And that is fucking... I don't know if you can put... I don't know if the women have, like, have Brownlows or not, but I will be putting money on Hannah for the Brownlows.
So it's a serious topic in a way, because it's important to kind of know where you draw the line. And the biggest reaction I've seen is people saying that this is absolutely ridiculous and she shouldn't be allowed to play in this league. And this is probably the most, like, visually clear-cut cases of...
this is what everybody talks about when they're saying, you know, oh, yeah, it's so unfair. This is like a... Yeah, you can picture it in your mind.
There's a lot of blurred lines around transgender rights. This one has got a very visual, like, this is a big man who's now a woman playing in the AFL Women's League. It's a tough one to know. And this is obviously you and I talking about this as two straight white males. We've never really had much adversity in our lives, so it's
well, just neither would have that, neither would take have that Hannah, as it is. Neither would have Hannah up until he decided to become a woman, I imagine.
Well, did she decide to become a woman? I don't know. The way that I look at it is, so people are obviously, it's the physicality of it. You know, you can see that image of this big 6 foot whatever she is. And you just think that person is going to be playing against
whatever she
all
is,
these women
is,
in a very physical... whatever she is in height, I mean. I didn't mean that in a general... What I mean is if they had a woman playing in the women's league who was exactly the same height, build, weight as Hannah Mountsey, but just was, you know, born a female.
Yeah, that's right.
You
no
wouldn't
issue
be
there.
Saying she can't play the sport.
No, no way.
So then your whole argument of it's physically, you know, unfair has to go out the window, right?
Not particularly. Because he'll still be stronger. He'll still be stronger than her. Do you know what I mean?
If you I'm talking about, not necessarily, I'm talking about a woman from birth is the same build, height, strength, and everything. A trans woman. Just physically on the same level as Hannah Mountsey.
Yep.
You wouldn't care and you'd say, well, it's a women's league and she can play and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
So in that way, your argument that because he was born a male and that just makes him physically stronger, that argument can't be valid anymore.
Yeah, but the chances of a woman being as equally as strong as a man of the same, roughly the same size is probably...
Yeah.
You know, a lot less chance of that actually happening. And then that's why it's sort of, you know what I mean?
And that's why they say, and it becomes more obvious, obviously, in like physical sports, like the UFC, when you're talking about can a trans woman who used to be a man fight women.
There is a guy who does that, Fallon. It's Fallon Fox. Fucking destroys women, man.
Well, it takes the blurred lines out of it because, you know, you're thinking, okay, this is, in my mind, physically a man.
Well, it's going to be the
beating
same
up on women, but
it's going to be the same as that New Zealand weightlifter who's a man and who is just smashing all the women now, winning all the things.
Yeah. See, here's my answer to it. I'll fix the whole thing for you. Fucking just stop making sports men's and women's.
Just do it. Just make them. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I would be 100%
even
for that.
The AFL, the men's league.
Fucking bring
just
it on,
an
mate.
Open league. Exactly. Yeah.
Let's see where the women fall. Because that's the issue, though. Because there's always this thing about, you know, women aren't getting paid enough and all this sort of things. And I understand, you know, that to a degree as well. But if you're paying sportsmen on the merit of how good they actually are in the scheme of the sport, women are going to be, you know what I mean? Obviously, there'll be some sports where women will dominate men over and things like that.
Well, exactly. What I mean, it should just be skill. And I'm sure that it'll end up being that the top tier, most professional leagues of any sport will be mostly men. And that's probably because the reason why they split sports up is because generally a male physical makeup is going to be a taller, stronger. But that's not the case. There's women who play sports that would beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, fucking
and I'm a male, so it's not like
it. It's not a black. You know what I mean? There's always going to be exceptions to the rules.
So there should any sport. I don't fucking care. Don't split it up by fucking sex. Split it up by skill level. And if you can play in the highest fucking skill level, man or woman, you can. Mm. And then you can have like the bottom tier, like minor leagues or whatever you want to call it, where...
Can you imagine the outrage then, though, and then the rules that would come into the sport? Like, even for AFL, for example, if we had mixed AFL, like, even that incident they had with, like, who was it? Was it Nat Nui when he tackled old mate? And they were like, oh, he was too big. He shouldn't have hit him so hard. Like, imagine that on the scale with women. It's like you'd have to be playing touch footy, pretty much, because the size difference.
This is what I'm saying is you fucking still keep the sport as it is. And if there's problems with it being too physical, then they have to be problems about it being too physical. It should have nothing to do with whether or not it's a man tackling a woman or a woman tackling a man.
It's like the whole thing with the special forces and the army and things like that, where, like, fair enough. And even, you know, women can, if there's a woman out there that can complete the training to get to that top tier, like, operator level of, like, special forces and stuff, fucking good on them. Go for it. But they shouldn't have to lower the bar. They shouldn't have to lower the bar where people are putting their lives on the line. It's life or death situation to allow the whole, you know, equality sort of thing.
That's the point I'm making. If you, like, people have a tendency to think of woman is someone small and brittle and frail, and a man is someone big and large and strong. That's not always the case. You can have women that are physically at the same level.
Oh, there's plenty of women out there, man, that would smash dudes. There's plenty of women out there that are bigger than dudes. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why boxing and UFC and shit have weight classes, because it breaks you up into someone who's physically
roughly the same sort of size. Yeah, it should be the same weight, size.
So I think in the system that we have, fucking let fucking Hannah Mountsey play and stop fucking giving a shit. Because if there was a woman, fucking born a woman, that was the exact same physicality as Hannah, you would say, that's great. This is fucking going to be exciting. Yeah. But now it's more people just fucking want to rip shit on someone that is fucking trans and that they don't really understand.
Yeah. But so I'm definitely going to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to watch it too. I'm excited.
That's why I think...
I'd love to see fucking some women just fucking lay her out too, just because you don't want...
I can't see it happening, but I would love to see that also. Essentially, you just want blood. Women, man, I don't care. I just want to see a bit of blood.
We just want to see violence, man. Exactly. Isn't that the point of sport?
But it's like, now you're going to start seeing... like, and it's, you can almost put money on it. You know, she's going to dominate physically wise. There's not going to be a lot of women out there that are going to be able to, you know, out muscle her. But,
well, another issue is part of it. And people fucking say, and I hate shit like this when you're talking about, like, when people talk about shit they don't understand. And I don't understand completely the trans experience either.
Don't you?
Not completely. But you can't, the argument I always hear is like, oh, well, if this bloke's just said he's a woman, now he's going to play, we're going to get, the whole league is going to be inundated with, like, amateur male footballers who just say they're women so they can play in the women's league. I'm like, that's not going to fucking happen. You don't just fucking completely change the course of your life and tell the world and completely change and identify as the opposite sex so that you can finally get one up in a sport because you're shitty in the fucking men's league. Like,
I know.
It's not going to be this fucking overtaking of fucking men are just going to come in and dominate this league.
And that's what I would love to actually hear, because we always, you know, the main voices you hear these days are like the real, like, left-wing, like, feminists, like the people on TV and shit like that, you know, like a lot of talk show hosts and stuff like that who are all for, you know, this sort of stuff. But I would love to just get a poll of just all the women, you know what I mean, like, around the world, and see where they actually, like, the majority of women sit on this issue. Because now, like, these blokes who are trans now and are now women are literally, like, for weightlifting, for example, like, how would the girl who comes second there feel?
Well, and my answer to that is, the problem there is not a man who's decided to be a woman has stolen your title. The problem is it's a shitty fucking system that it's broken up into men and women when it should be just broken up into skill level.
Yeah, but then a woman would never win that sport.
But who cares? Like, it's not about saying that have a second tier level, because that's basically what women's sports is, right? For the most part. And that's not me being a sexist. That's making me sound like
Jesus
an asshole.
Christ.
But let's be honest. For the most part, and there's obviously exceptions, but the women's professional league is a second tier level. It's not, And it doesn't mean that they shouldn't be fucking exciting and watching and all that kind of stuff, because it's meaning that everyone can play sport at a professional level. And I get that. But you should have that top tier, second tier, and they can, they're open to anyone. Doesn't matter if you're at that level, you play at that level. If you're good enough to go up into the major level, then you go up into the major level.
Do you think in one point in history that that's actually how all sport was played, and then it was just so unfair that they divided it into men and women?
Maybe. That's
you know, that's probably,
possibly true.
Probably, but how it actually did all start.
But the reason I say that is in, if that was the case, right, and there was a two-tier weightlifting thing instead of men's and women's,
yeah,
the trans woman who used to be a man would not be in, probably wouldn't be in the
top
in the second tier level. It'd be in the top tier, and so that woman who came second would still win. But it's,
but then you'd have men in the second tier as well.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But then you're still competing at people at your same level, and you probably have women that maybe that woman would be in the top tier. Like, it's very easy just to bash on someone that you just don't understand them, instead of being like, oh, maybe we could do this a completely different way.
I think that, and that's like you said, it's the more visual thing when you actually see the size of Hannah.
Yeah.
Well, it's that's daunting. Yeah.
It is. It is. And it's more obvious and it's more guttural when you see, and even when you think about like the UFC, because it's like, okay, we're going to let a man just fucking beat on a woman in a ring, and like the referee only steps in if there's eye gouging. Like, that on the surface level sounds bad. But
can you imagine having a mixed tournament if we did, you know,
but it's the same thing if you had a fucking big bloke bashing on someone who's fucking like 5'5" and weighs 65 kilos.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's same still an thing. Unfair thing. There's still two men. Doesn't make it any fairer. Someone's going to bash the shit out of the other one, and you're probably going to know going into it who's going to do it. But that's my two cents on that. That, and I guess the other news that came up last week, and I haven't done enough research to tell you who it was, but it was some Australian senators or something, where there was a video of it because they were discussing these transgender bathroom rights for private companies or something like that. And I can't remember the whole thing, but it was this one guy, this, I think he was the National Party senator. I don't know if you saw this or not, Liam.
Yeah.
But he was basically saying, well, he's this big fat old man. He's like fucking in his 60s, this big gross fat bastard. And he's like, well, you know, if I, what if I decide tomorrow that I identify as a woman?
Oh, I did see that, I think.
I go snooping around the women's changing rooms, and I'm looking at them in the changing rooms and spending 6 hours in there a day. That's just fine, is it? It's like, it's not fine. But like, this whole argument of don't let him in, don't let, it's a, and it's the same thing, the same point I'm making. It's like, you can't just let a man say that he's a woman and then he's going in changing rooms and, you know, creeping on all the women and looking at all the little girls and stuff. It's still illegal to be
either
creeping
way
around a changing room.
Whether you're a man
you
or
could
a
have
woman,
perverted women in there spending 6 hours a day, or like checking out people getting changed and stuff. You're still going to have complaints about it, and you're still going to get in trouble. It doesn't give you a free pass to be a fucking sex pest. Like, this is the argument I hate. And
so it's like, how
go on. What are you going to say?
It's such a fucking tough one, man. Because what's the marker where you can say, okay, yeah, well, this person is legitimately a trans person who's been living as a woman for X amount of years, knows this, that, you know, has done that. Yeah. Maybe they're on estrogen or they're on testosterone blockers. Now, here you go, you get your license to be a, you qualify, so you get a license here to be a trans woman.
Well,
or something, you know
what
I mean?
But again, my answer is just fucking, instead of trying to determine, well, how fucking like female are you? Like, where do you fall along the line of being a woman to a man? It's like, just fucking make changing rooms a private place where you don't fucking have to be naked in front of 20 other people, like, or fucking toilets. Just fucking make them, don't split them up by sex. Just fucking have private toilets or private changing rooms, single stalls where you can go in. Yeah. Like, that answers
which
everything.
Is the same
and
as
then
a
you
woman,
don't,
which is a woman's stall anyway, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't have piss troughs because it's only really,
I don't know what happens.
Unless
here.
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe they do stand in a piss.
I don't know. I don't know what happens in there, and I don't
But do you remember a few months ago, there was that guy who took his daughter into the woman's change room to go to take his daughter, whose daughter was like 4 years old or something. And instead of like standing out the front and waiting, which, you know, I don't know, what would you do? Would you take your daughter into a men's bathroom where you got all blokes standing with their dicks out in a piss trough and then into it? Or would you wait out the front of a woman's bathroom? Or would you take her in? And he took her into the bathroom and like put her in a stall and just waited out the front of the stall. And then he copped all, it was on the news. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, again, like, that's another problem. That's another problem that can be avoided if we, like, the whole idea of everyone pissing and shitting in one room together just because we're the same sex is fucking outdated, man. Just make toilets separate. And
just
fucking
get rid of piss cube. Just get rid of piss troughs. That's really the only time that anyone's really exposed to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Get rid of the troughs, but just even make them so they're not just stalls, but literally like you don't walk into a room and then there's a stall of toilets. You walk into a room, there's one toilet and a sink and a mirror. And that's it. So there's
one I get what you mean.
Person toilets, and people will say, "Well, then you have to fucking rebuild all the shit." Who fucking rebuild it? Who cares? Fucking change the way. Like, if you don't split it up and make these fucking weird rooms where we all sit next to each other and shit at the same time, then you're not going to have a problem of a fucking poor father walking in because I don't know. What if his little girl is like, I don't want to fucking go in there by myself. I don't, you know. Yeah. He's probably just being like, I'll stand outside so that, you know I'm here. But whatever it is, all those problems you can just avoid. It's like, it's so easy just to say, let's just rethink the way that we set up these spaces instead of fucking like just assuming that any person.
Or the other extreme is you could just say, all right, anyone with a dick and balls is a man, anyone without is a woman. We all go our separate ways and that's how it is, no matter how you feel.
Yeah, but what, but for what? For what purpose? Like, why do you need to determine
to not
that?
Have to have this fucking grey area that we're all fucking talking about for the last fucking however many
years? Who cares? Grey area is fucking great, man. Who fucking cares?
It's all a grey area.
The place we're moving towards is everyone is just a fucking person and they fucking shit in a private place where no one can see their fucking genitals and they fucking play sports against people that are a similar skill level to themselves. Like, that's where we're going. I've said this on the show before. Everyone on the fucking planet is going to fuck each other. There's not going to be any races. It's all going to be a fucking mission.
I like the fact
fucking
that we...
who cares? Stop identifying with your fucking race.
You want a fucking a race of those aliens of Prometheus or whatever alien. Everyone's just playing. What about?
I want superpowers.
I enjoy the fact though that we can go that we have different cultures and you know what I mean. That's what I think's good about. We go to Italy and there's Italians and there's Chinese and it would be boring if we're all just something in the middle.
But you still would have those cultures. You still would go to China and there'd be all these ancient buildings and the food there. But they fucking like
the guy would just
it's just people would look like whatever they fucking look like. Like it's just fucking that's my fucking yarn this week.
That was a rant, Jays. You just ranted.
We ranted. People are thinking, what the fuck are we supposed to expect from this show, man? Because sometimes they're just fucking having a giggle and that's funny. And other times they're fucking preaching their fucking bullshit at me through my fucking headphones. I don't know. If you agree with me, let me know. If you don't agree with me, let me know too.
Regardless of what it should be, I think we should have a celebrity boxing match. Hannah Mousy. Mouncy versus fucking Caitlyn Jenner.
You're such a fuckhead, man.
What?
that's like, all right, we're moving on.
What's wrong with that? Would you not pay money for that?
I would pay top dollar, but that's not the point. Oh my god, I'm trying to be serious here. All right, we're moving on. Next subject. Hang on. Where's the fucking music? There we go. All right, Liam. So, a few weeks ago, we had a Mother's Day special on Spinning Yarns. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. Yep, I remember that.
We had author Leanne Shonian came on to talk about her book about being a single mum. And then we had the plan for that show was to have both of our mums come on as guests. Yeah. And then your mum couldn't make it on the show. Because she was working But my mum could. So we chatted with my mum. It was great. And she told an embarrassing story about me that was, you know, kind of funny. And then you said that you were going to ask your mum to record a voice memo that we could play on the show of an embarrassing story about you. And then when we played it on the show, it really wasn't embarrassing at all. It was actually quite funny. It was you had stuck a praying mantis in your father's toasted sandwich.
Yep.
And he ate the whole thing, and then you told him about it, and he chased you around the paddock.
Like, classic Dennis the Menace story.
Yeah, classic Dennis the Menace story, and not embarrassing at all. And the whole point to that segment was for us to poke fun at ourselves and have our mums tell embarrassing stories.
Was it? So though? I feel that's just how it panned out.
So I thought maybe I should get in touch with Joe, because I had a feeling that she may have had some other stories up her sleeve and you just weren't sharing them with us. And she said, yeah, I actually sent Liam a few different stories. Didn't he show them with you? And I said, no, he didn't. He just showed me the one of him putting a praying mantis in his dad's sandwich.
Well, best story.
And she said, no, well, I sent this other one. I'll send it to you, Jace. So I have that here, Liam. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I can play it for us. But the main reason, I just feel like we should, if the podcast is ever going to work, we have to be on an even level playing field.
Much like women's and men's sport moving forward.
Regardless of gender, we have to be on an even playing field. So here we go. I'm going to play Joe's
I'm not sure story. Which one makes me look more like a legend, though.
So this is a story that Liam hid from me, and I had to get from Joe privately. And it's a story about Liam. Here we go.
Okay, let's see what I can come up with. I'm Joe, Liam's mum. What tale can I tell about Liam?
She already knows what
one
she's going
to
say.
One that comes to mind would be when he was in grade one. He was always a fairly mischievous little tyke, but anyhow, picked
old
the boys up
from
school. They went to a Catholic school. On jumping into the car, his older brother said that the headmistress would like me to call in and see her the next morning with regards to Liam. And I thought, oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go again. I thought they'd dealt with the other issue, whatever it was, but he had detention at Smoko time the previous day. So we head off home, and that the next morning I'm getting ready, throw on a nice dress and throw on a bit of lippy, walking out to the car, and Liam looks at me with big wide eyes and says, Mum, how come you're all dressed up? And I just said, oh, I'm going up to see your headmistress, Liam. She wants to chat to me. Is there anything in particular you think you need to tell me? No.
That's
he
you,
says,
Liam.
Sitting in the back seat, looking up, well, innocent. So, okay, off we drive to the school. Get to the school. Liam goes off to his classroom, and I'm walking over to the headmistress's offices, and we sit down, and she was saying that the kids had had to do painting or some sort of craft the previous afternoon, so they spread out newspaper all over the table. So they're all sitting around there, and Liam's sitting next to one of his little buddies, and on the piece of newspaper that was in front of Liam was pictures from personal ads, and I think it had some raunchy girls or something there posing, and Liam leans over to his little buddy next to him and says, see her? I went to a nightclub last night and did it with her. So anyhow, there was this other little guy that was hovering around that heard what Liam said.
I still know who
and,
that is actually too.
Ran up and told his
10-year anniversary.
Teacher. So therefore the teacher told the headmistress, and so they have to address it. So off we go. And then when the teacher's telling me this, the sort of the penny drops. He'd been watching the Austin Powers.
Great movie.
That was just, he was just saying one of the lines out of Austin Powers. So
that's what she
I'm
thinks.
Sitting there, and they send off to bring Liam in, and she walks in holding Liam's hand and saying, come on now, Liam. Now, tell Mummy what we were talking about yesterday and what you told me that you said to the little boy, your friend. So Liam's just standing there looking at me, not saying anything, and I'm looking at him and thinking, I knew where he got what he had said from. It was from the Austin Powers movie. And
I don't think it is.
He's not saying anything and he starts to look like he's getting a bit paler. And it's a terrible thing. I'm sort of having a bit of a cough, trying not to laugh. So I'm coughing it out and just saying it. Come on, Liam, tell me what was said. What did you say to the little boy? So anyhow, he starts to get a little bit more paler and I'm thinking, what's going on here? And he gets a funny faraway look in his eye and starts to sway a little bit. Next minute he did this big hurl into my hands and I grabbed the rubbish bin right next to me and it was awful. He hurled up his banana smoothie and his ham and cheese toasty.
That's a good breakfast.
Poor little bugger knew he was in trouble of some sort, didn't know why he was in trouble. So that's what he did. He vomited up all his breakfast. The teacher was shocked and couldn't believe what she's done. I'm so sorry, I've never had this happen before. So anyhow,
she was like trench bull, that bitch.
At the end of it all, she ended up taking him through to the staff room and giving him about 3 chocolate cookies because he had no breakfast left and sent him off to his classroom. It was kind of funny at the time, but it's not, doesn't really feel like, oh, shit.
Jo did a pretty good job. She kind of lost it at the end.
Is
there,
that it?
Pretty well spoken. That's the end of the story.
That's the funniest bit of that whole story. I'm listening back on that story now because I didn't even listen because I did know what she was doing. I didn't listen to the whole story when I reviewed the two. I just knew that the praying mantis was what I was going to use. But now I listen back on it. That is that fucking principle. That's child abuse.
Well, you know what? I played that thinking, okay. When I listened to it, I thought, this is great. This is embarrassing because Liam got so scared that he threw up all his breakfast. And then just now as we kind of listen to it, I'm thinking it's really just me as a 27-year-old man laughing at a little kid in the first grade because he was in trouble and he spewed up all his breakfast.
Didn't know why I was in trouble. Got called to the office with the fucking principal who was a fucking literally like trenchbull off fucking Matilda, if no one knows who that is. That's what this principal was like.
And the two other things, it actually probably makes you look even better than the praying mantis story did because, A, you're a little kid walking around telling people, I went to a club and fucked that lady last night, which is like bad A's. And then secondly, you somehow talked your mum into thinking that that's a line from the hit movie Austin Powers, which I don't think at any point he says, I went to a nightclub and did it with her last night. So you've gotten away with that. Thirdly, you're having a great breakfast. Your mum's clearly made you banana smoothie and a ham and cheese toastie, which is much more than I ever had.
Which is actually quite nice thinking about that right now. I'm actually making me hungry.
And the last thing is, after you threw up all your breakfast, so you've done something wrong. You've been called in the principal's office for talking about having sex with full-grown women. Then you've managed to flip the script and make them feel sorry for you. And then you've gone and got 3 or 4 chocolate bickies. Chip cookies. Chocolate bickies.
I remember it.
You've come out on top on that story.
And she ended up with Spew Man all through her office. Her office, the Trenchbull's office, stung like fucking spew for the rest of the day.
Turns out you're just a kid genius, man.
That's karma, man. That is what karma for what you get for trying to fucking traumatize.
Trying to swindle you.
Fucking little one-year-old.
Trying to stitch you up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
I trained myself how to cry on demand also.
I'll have to reach out to her again and maybe there just are no embarrassing stories about you and that's I'm just learning that slowly.
But no. Oh man, what a fucking, that is, now I look back on it and I still remember snitches get stitches if you're listening.
Yeah, so that's the other last thing I wanted to ask you before we move on. Do you remember who the snitch was?
Oh yeah, I fucking remember who the snitch was.
Is it someone that I know? Did they go to high school with us?
They'll be at the 10-year anniversary.
Okay. So there's definitely some scores to settle.
Yeah,
at our upcoming
high school anniversary. Lulling them into a false sense of security.
It's not Middy's Grey, is it? No, you didn't. Did he go to primary school with you?
It's not Middy's Grey. Okay. It's someone you know well, though.
Maybe we'll keep that for an off-air discussion. Or I'll just wait to see who you knock out at the reunion and I'll give me my answer. Unless it's, you knock out multiple people. Liam, do you have a... do you remember this week? I think I did one on the last episode.
Yeah, I think you did. And I think this is the people have been asking for it.
Hang on, before I let you continue, which I will, I always forget to play the music. So this week, I just want to...
hit me with it.
We're doing a Do You Remember segment, and here
you bought that drum pad, you may as well use it. Do you remember?
Okay, you can go.
I actually hate that intro, though, because it's not... I actually really enjoy the song, and it's not enough to, like...
It just gets
me excited to hear it, and then you don't hear it. But anyway...
It feels really unresolved. That's exactly
how it feels. That's a good way to put it. That's exactly what I was thinking. So, anyway, we'll keep touching on this story, and we never actually ever finish it. So, I think today is the day that we actually give the fans what they want and tell them the Do You Remember about... our mate, Tommy C. Raz, Tommy Kaz, Uncle Stubbies. You remember the one I'm talking about?
I do. I'm glad you brought it up because we've hinted at it probably two or three times or more during a Do You Remember segment, and then we've kind of taken a right turn and we haven't got a chance to tell the story. So I'll let you take it away.
Okay. So feel free to jump in at any point.
I will.
So I believe the start of the night, we were all at our place. We were going to get drunk. I'm pretty sure that we all scrounged together our money. I went down to the bottle though and got the cheapest.
Tied your hair back in a ponytail like Gaston to look two to three years older.
I don't know if that worked or not, but I never got asked for ID whenever I tied my hair in a ponytail.
I don't know if it made you look older. It just made you look like, I don't want to ask this person for ID because I don't want to get on their bad side.
Never fuck with a man with a ponytail. Only, you know, Steven Seagal is another ponytail man. He's probably the only other one who comes to mind.
Also, Gaston. For a lot of people, maybe you're like high school drama teacher. Probably had a ponytail. And that's another person you just don't want to fuck with because you don't know what they're going through.
So anyway, scrounged together this money. I think we had some beers and stuff at home as well.
I wonder if people keep like a stopwatch when you tell a story and you say, feel free to jump in, how long it takes for me to jump in and insert myself into it. Yeah, so I don't know.
Not very long.
I'll let you go on.
But this night, and I think this is the same night where where Tommy Carroll headbutted Sammy Salsa out of drunken rage.
In front of your mum.
From nowhere. But anyway, so this was sort of the downward decline where we realised that alcohol doesn't agree with Tom. But
we learned that early on.
But anyway, so we went out, chipped together all our money, went down. Literally, I can pretty much remember I had $25 or just over like $27 or something. Going in the liquor store down on the corner on the forum there, looking around, found this bottle of I can't even remember the name of it, but it was like, it was not nice. I'm pretty sure it had like a plastic lid on the top of it, like just as cheap.
I think the whole bottle was plastic,
Irish
to be
whiskey.
Honest.
Yeah, I think it might have actually been two, to be honest. I think it actually was a plastic bottle. All of it was plastic.
I'm pretty sure it was, you said Irish whiskey. I thought it was gin or scotch or something worse. If you're listening in America, $25, you're probably thinking you can get a pretty decent bottle of liquor for that price.
Not in Australia.
That was probably the cheapest
bottle
of spirits that we could possibly get for that amount of money.
It was. So anyway, we get that, bring it back. We're having beers. What would we have been, 16?
Yeah, we were 16 because this...
You wouldn't have had your moped then, I don't think.
No, because Liam, this is the night, and we've done this, do you remember, before, when you did daylight savings prank on me.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to get on my moped and ride to work at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Shit,
this is the same night.
So we would have been 16.
So we were 16. Oh, I definitely was 16. So
yeah, maybe I wasn't 16.
It's in the 6 months between. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, yeah. So anyway, Tommy starts trying to go to town on this whiskey a little bit too hard.
15-year-old boy, so yeah. Give him a break.
But. Yeah, exactly. He drank a fair bit. He did drink a fair bit. I think I remember him pouring a glass and a mixer for himself, like half-half or something. But he drinks it. First thing he does, we put him to bed because he's like passing out in my brother's bed, who wasn't there at the time, and he throws up all through the fucking bed. Remember that?
Oh, my God.
Hence why we get him into the shower.
I was still thinking this night is my night. This is before you pulled a horrible prank on me. So I was feeling quite good about myself at this point. But I remember walking in to your brother's room.
Whoa.
The light was on, completely on. We hadn't turned it off and he'd just fallen asleep. And the entire bed was just absolutely covered in spew. Like every inch of your brother's double bed was fucking spewed up all over Tom, all over himself. It was fucking disgusting.
Yeah, we've all been there. We've all been there.
Yeah.
But some more than others. But he's... So anyway, we're like, all right, we've got to get him in the shower. God, I hope we can find some photos. So anyway, we get Tom in the shower and we've got a towel. And for some reason, we think, oh yeah, we know, we'll put the towel over his head. I'm actually thinking about it. It sort of sounds like we waterboarded him. Towel over his head.
We put him in the shower and he's sitting on the floor of the shower and he's being sick and, you know, we've checked back on him a few times.
I've only got 20 minutes. We've only got 20 minutes of warm water too, mind you.
And so he's got the... I don't know if he just put the towel on his own head or if he... Maybe we did waterboard him. I don't know. But we've come to check back on him and he's got this towel drooping over his face. It kind of looks like a ghost.
Think Cousin
something.
It. Looks like Cousin It.
Yeah, exactly.
Except and, the towel.
And we said, Tom, you know, you've been in here for a while, mate. Are you ready to get out? And he's like, no, I need to stay in here. So we're like, okay, no worries.
I don't think he was that coherent when he...
We wanted to be good friends, so we went and got one of your, like, trucker hats and some sunglasses and put them, like, on top of the towel that's on his head and over the front. And we're, like, taking photos of him, like, naked in the shower with a fucking towel face, sunnies and hat on. Because I only add that just because it's a funny image for the listeners. But
it was funny. But anyway,
eventually we've come back in. It's been like 40 minutes, maybe even an hour. A long time is in. The hot water is completely gone.
So he's now having a cold shower.
And he's saying, I need like, it's too cold. I can't get out of the shower, but it's too cold. And so we've said, you know what we'll do, Thomas? We'll go get, because we don't want it to freeze to death. So we'll go get a bucket of water. We'll boil the kettle and we'll mix it with
at
water.
At this
and we'll
point,
like...
though, he's turned position and now he's in the roast chicken position on his hands and knees.
Yeah, he's in the fetal position at this point because the water is so cold. And so we've said, we're going to go get a big bucket of warm water and we'll come and we'll pour that over you, at least to warm you up so we can get you out of the shower. And he's going, oh, thank you, boys. That's great. That's, you know, this is so cold. I need to warm up before I can get out. So we got a big bucket of water, filled it with water, filled it with ice cubes. And then put the whole bucket in the deep freezer for about 15 minutes. And we've come back and we've gone, and I think you were carrying it and the way that you've walked into the bathroom was like, oh, it's hot. like, dude, let's do this quick. It's hot to hold. You've got, oh, Tom, we've got that warm water for you. And meanwhile, he's been sitting in there just getting doused with cold shower water.
On the count of three, we're going to put...
And he's just gone, thank you so much. And so I'm going to... You can be the voice of Tom because we poured this bucket of ice water and keep in mind there were chunks of ice in there and then it went in the freezer. So there was solid, like it was cold water, but it
put
was
a bit
like,
of salt in there to drop the temperature even more.
Yeah, it was like golf ball hail at this point. And we poured it on his back. There's about a 3 second pause. And then you can, Liam, you make the sound that came out of Tom's
body. So you pour the, say, 3, 2, 1, pour the water.
All right, 3, 2, 1, pour the water on, just hits him
and
in the back.
And this is the delay, starting now.
the whole water fucking crashed down, cold water on him, man. And I thought he was dead at that point because he didn't even move.
It was about a 5 second delay.
And then it was like, that was his body processing. I'm anticipating warm water and I don't know what's happened to me. And all of his lungs and everything have just constricted gone. And all the air in his body is just going.
A fucking dog act.
And then I think we just put him back in the bed that was filthy with vomit and just ruined. Like, that's not even a funny, I mean, it's hilarious, but it's just a terrible thing to do to someone.
I know.
And I don't think you could even get away with it in this day and age. No. I'm surprised you got away with it then.
There would be some but sort that, of charges pressed, I think.
Yeah, well, it just depends on whether Tom wants to rat us out or not.
Tom's done some nasty things to us over the years, too.
So, oh, great, God. Do you remember? And you know what I love about having this podcast is just ripping shit on our mates and they can't even respond or defend themselves. It's just great. What we might have to do is open it up to some of our mates and say, you know, maybe do a roast. Maybe we'll have a roast episode of Spinning Yarns where all our mates come on and tell the most horrific stories about us. And then what would happen is we'd record it and then I would get to take that back and
re-edit it down the episode as I usually do.
And we just, but it would be like really stop starting. Like, oh, I remember that time, Jason, Liam, fucking legends. Just snipping of really awkward parts of the story together.
That's not like us. We would never doctor an interview like that.
No, what would really happen is I'd just take out all the bad stories about me and just leave in all the bad stories about you.
Yeah.
And then we'd be even.
That's right.
That's a great, do you remember?
It was good.
But
that was a good one.
I think
good about that.
That's all we have time for on this week's episode of Spinning Yarns. We'll see how much of this remains in the episode once I get it in the editing lab and cut out all the things I'm not proud of, maybe, that I said it during the rant. But I think it's a good episode. It's felt good. We've had a week
breath
off.
Of fresh air.
Tune in next week. We'll be back, or maybe we won't, but I think, I don't know, maybe we will. We'll have another good episode. Liam, thanks for catching up, mate. It's been a great time.
Always a pleasure.
I'll see you next week.
See you, buddy.
See you later, mate. I got to find you.